Dumelang, Thobela, hello, and welcome to the SL Cabinet, your go-to weekly news wrap-up. My name is Gwena Mashale, and as always, I'm joined by my incredible co-hosts, Nandine Tini and Herman Molloy.
Hi guys.
New week, same energy. We're here to break down the biggest stories, the wildest debates, and those headlines that make you go crazy. So let's dive right into it. This is just a disclaimer. This podcast episode may be sensitive to listeners, so please know you can listen at your own discretion. First thing on the list, guys, it's been a tough week for everyone. And I was actually talking to my colleague, Jeanette, that, you know, as journalists, sometimes we tend to think that we're kind of, you know, we're kind of hard-hearted.
Okay.
Yes, when it comes to certain topics, because we've seen so much. But I think this week has been also difficult because it has touched a lot of hearts. So first things on the list, justice for 7-year-old Gwegwe from Matatiela, Eastern Cape, has struck a lot of people. I mean, there were multiple marches across the country Tuesday when it was happening, as well as I think some of them also started as well on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And it's people have just been outraged by the fact that the 7-year-old girl was from Birchview College, was sexually assaulted, raped in a vicinity where she's supposed to be protected and supposed to be safe. And essentially her mother took to social media to basically outcry that nothing has progressed as she reported the matter since last year, October 2024. So the recent updates from the case is that, so there are some people on social media that are very, how can I put this? Inhumane.
Stupid.
They don't have humanity. They don't have basic human decency. Mm-hmm. And there's some people who took to Twitter to basically say that, guys, I can't even actually say this properly, but this student from Oosol Blackie University, if I understand it properly, he took to Twitter and basically said, criticized and made sexual remarks about the victim, going to a point where people, after attacking him and telling him to stop it, he went and says that, it's not like I'm the one who raped her. Which, yeah, guys, it's very bad. So the Sol Blackie University in Northern Cape is investigating the derogatory commentary. And they're saying that there's no space like that in the university, guys. Comments on this matter?
I choose not to give comment to stupid people. Sorry to say that.
No, it's okay. Nandi.
Like, also, I think Herman is right. I think I don't know if we tend to joke too much as a country, to an extent that even if it's a serious matter, we have to step back and acknowledge that there's no time for joking. And this kid here, and the fact that allegedly he's also doing education at the university, is kind of questionable. We could see how is he going to move forward with this, going to that same space where this little girl was violated.
Yeah.
So it's boring to find people like these.
And to think that this whole thing, this whole week, and as everybody knows, I think April is the Sexual Assault Awareness Month or something like that. But also, this comes as the Minister of Basic Education, Usiviwe Gwaruba. Thank you for that correction. Basically, I was commemorating the death of Uyinene. I think we all know who Uyinene is. And she was a 19-year-old girl who was assaulted as well at some point. So Basic Education Minister basically was talking about this, and not only on the commemoration, but also on what was happening in regard to the case of Gwegwe. Herman was on the story, but let's take a listen to what the minister was saying.
Ladies and gentlemen, as government, we have a duty to ensure that our policies and practices protect young women and all children in South Africa. We must strengthen GBV education in schools, creating safer places of learning environments. And we must work across sectors to tackle gender-based violence at its roots. But it is not the fight of government alone. It is the fight for every single South African. It is a fight for men to take the responsibility to hold one another accountable. It is a fight for institutions, for schools, for universities, for workplaces, to create environments where women feel safe, respected, and valued. It is a fight for all of us to say, No, not anymore.
Herman, what exactly did you get from that whole event?
So, the commemoration of Uyanene, it's something that has been done over the years since 2020 when there was a public outrage. The minister didn't say much in terms of this whole thing, the whole incident, as she is being referred on the social media. So, the only thing that that she said that is important is that we need to vent teachers. We need to make sure that teachers that teach children don't appear on the National Sexual Register offences. But then, for me, the story starts, okay, from yesterday, I think, for me. Minister of Youth and People Living with Disability had a briefing. She said, according to the medical reports that they got, it seems like Gwe was not only raped that once time. So it was not the first incident, according to the medical reports that they got.
At the time when we met on the day, we were given a full report by the department, by police. They gave us a full report. The social development gave us a full report. And of course, we are happy that there have been also an interaction between the province and the very first hospital doctor that saw, for instance, Tweko. And therefore now, there is no question as to whether there was or there was no rape. There was a rape. As a matter of fact, from the information that we have heard, is that there is a possibility that it was not even the first time that Tweko herself was raped. So it's something that needs investigation. So I think it is important that we get to the bottom of it. And that is why we are saying as a department, social development, and we can even go out to invite other stakeholders who are dealing with these issues to help go to these two schools and other private schools and interview children so that those who may have not come forward, if it may have happened to them, they can also come forward.
And also, the other thing that caught my interest, it's when the mother was detailing the Wednesday morning that she took the child to the doctor, what she saw and what the doctor saw, and her having to walk out of the room because she's also a victim of rape. I think it's a sad story. Hence, I don't want to refer to people who are making joke about this whole thing because you realize how serious it is. And also, it gives you a... I think, I don't know how to call it, but then you ask yourself to say, how many other Tweko's are out there who don't have a voice? And you ask yourself, the mother said, I even had to use my ranking at the police station because I was not getting the attention that I deserve. So you ask yourself about that mother who's unemployed, who does not even know who this is the procedure that I should take. And she's being told, no, you know what? Your case is being investigated. That's the only thing that she gets at that point or over the years. So this story said, I saw that the police are having a media briefing. I just hope that they're giving us something solid, something that will show that actually we have done something since the outbreak or the outrage. It's a lot of things to touch on. It's a sad story. I'm trying to summarize myself and I'm all over the place. But the fact that this might not be the first incident, it's actually disgusting, it's cruel, it is heartbreaking, because you don't know even if Utweko was the only child who was raped at that school. And then also, it paints the picture of what is happening in South Africa. You might find that there are other. I saw another one in Northwest, yes, about a 6-year-old who was also raped by allegedly a neighbor. Well. There's a teacher, 58-year-old teacher who raped 13 years. So you get to realize a rape thing. It's a serious matter in South Africa that we need to address. So we can't be giving attention to those people who are making mockery of what happened to Cwecwe. I'm all over the place, I know.
It's
but
okay. Nandi.
It's okay. No, I think Kevin has said a mouthful, and I don't think I can
add more. I think it's a, like I said, it's been a tough week for everyone. Yeah. And I think it gets more tough, I guess, when you look at also what was happening in court. So the matter against Nigerian pastor Timothy Omotoso was not dropped, but he was acquitted of all 32 charges, including human trafficking and raped. And obviously this has sparked a lot of public outrage and calls for accountability, like I said, because it happened in the same week as the matters of justice for Cwecwe, and especially following the multiple marches. So Justice Minister Mamoloko
Kubayi
demanded an explanation from the National Prosecuting Authority regarding the acquittal of the pastor, right? So she demanded a need for transparency and a thorough review of the case to ensure that justice is served. Let's just take a listen to that judgment that was made.
Especially so as the accused evidence was not placed in dispute through proper cross-examination. When deciding whether the state has proved its case beyond reasonable doubt, this matter falls into the category where, in my view, the explanations of the accused are improbable, and I don't subjectively believe them. However, due to the uncertainty of the actions of the state and the lack of proper cross-examination, I cannot find that the accused's version are so improbable that they cannot reasonably possibly be true. The accused bore no onus to convince the court of their innocence. I am of the view, in the light of all the circumstances of the case, that the state has not proved its case beyond reasonable doubt.
Yes! Quiet, please.
The accused are found not guilty and are discharged on all the charges.
So, guys, just thoughts on the judgment as well as the Justice Minister's comments, because I think this is something that we've kind of been noticing now. The NPA has been kind of fumbling a little bit in regards to some of the cases, you know. So a lot of people are arguing, even you guys, that the state definitely fumbled the case. Thoughts? I'm going to start with Nandi this time. Herman, you had a mouthful in the previous section.
No, I really think the NPA really fumbled this. And then it started with our president, Cupcake. There's not enough evidence. Yeah. It went with provincially with Ron, who was the mayor.
Yeah.
Him. And then now Omotoso, and it's, I don't know, it's very disgusting. And I also learned that there was this witness, the witness Pamela, who also was gunned down in KZN because of testifying or being a witness in this case. It definitely means in South Africa, as a woman, no matter how much you cry, your voice would never be heard. Because firstly, the NPA did not put so much work in gathering those evidence from these women, and also just offering maybe a sense of security or just safety for them to be freely to speak. Because Angiti, they said, like, their case was shallow. Was it shallow? What happened? They should have worked hard on it, bearing that we've had a lot of cases where, okay, sorry, but foreign nationals coming into South Africa doing as they please. And to see this one going scot-free like this, clearly it's sending a different message to South Africans, especially women.
Yeah. Amen.
So, starting from the comment of Kubayi, I feel like at this point it's useless, because this guy, Omotoso, is going to go to Nigeria. Once he goes to Nigeria, we'll have to prove that we have a case against him so that he can be extradited to South Africa, which takes years. I mean, we have seen the Guptas, we have seen Bushiri. So it's useless to gather information at this point on what happened. Ne?
Yeah.
And then coming to the whole case and the NPA thing, I don't know. We tend to judge them when they quickly decide to prosecute.
Yeah.
We say, no, you should have taken time to gather your evidence and everything. But also, this one, they had 8 years of building their case to say, you know what, here is our case. Here's what is alleged to have happened because it was not proven at that time. So I don't know how to feel about the NPA, but yeah, we have seen weak cases whereby they just prosecute for the sake of being on the media or the sake of prosecuting.
Yeah.
And also, I just want to say I'm sorry to all the victims that went through Omotoso's terror. We have seen them breaking down. We have seen them in court testifying. We hope it's not the end, as our minister has requested a report. We hope that they might build something solid. And also, another thing that that might link to Omotoso, I'm not saying it's linked.
Yeah.
You remember when, who's this lady who claimed to be raped by Jup Jup? Amanda Dupont. So Amanda Dupont decided to withdraw the charges against Jup Jup. And we were quick to judge her to say, yeah, but then, yeah, you were lying all the time. I'm not saying it happened. I'm not saying it didn't happen. But then we saw it happening. What if Amanda Dupont withdrew the charges because she could see, oh, you know what, the state will fumble this thing. And I will be seen as a liar.
Yeah.
Because there are people who, I saw her video crying about and people saying, no, you're trying to take the spotlight. Guys, but come on, she alleges that she was raped. Why can't we give her like that energy to say, okay, give us what happened. Let's see your
the
evidence.
Benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, about the benefit of the doubt.
But I think we've had this discussion before where in South Africa now it's gotten to a point where because there's so much, I think, I think somebody said it, that in South Africa we have so much freedom of speech that a lot of people take to social media and they use it. They use it to a point where now it's a thing. I think we all remember the case. What's that guy that also Sjava? Sjava and what's that woman's name?
Lady Zama.
Lady Zama discussion as well. And there was that one. And then obviously, I think also people in the Sjava case, it was not only Lady Zama who was coming against him. I think there were other people who were coming against him. And then there was that one with the one with the woman. I forgot her name as well. She was pregnant, but she was also like hanged by a tree.
Ooh,
remember that case as well?
Yeah.
So we've had so much GBV.
You
remember? I think you remember it. But I just forgot her name. So sorry that I actually forgot her name. But you have cases like that, and there's a lot that's going on, and you have people who are commenting and having so much freedom of speech that you get people saying that they come out and say, no, I was also raped. Then find out later, some of them were actually not raped. Right. And then it makes people lose the credibility of this person is right, this person is not right. And when and I'm not saying Amanda Dupont is not a victim.
I also said I'm not taking sides.
I'm not taking sides.
Yeah.
But it's a matter of looking at it in perspective of everything that's been going on in the country. You have so many people who are coming out and saying, I was raped. Finding out later, you were not raped. You were just wanting to also be part of the fight. So it also makes a lot of credibility for witnesses to come forward. It also creates a lot of I think those authors also something the police have also said, that sometimes even the witnesses withdraw their cases, which also makes it hard for you now when you want to now put your case back in the system. The court is like, but you withdrew your case.
But that's the thing with me. I think it deserves the time that we're giving.
Yeah.
Sorry, you might get bored with me, but this thing deserves the time.
Yeah.
So with me, Gwen, I hear you saying people withdraw, but people sometimes they see, oh, okay, this is going to take my whole life. I'm going to have to go back to that moment. So they choose to say, you know what, let me withdraw. And sometimes you see, even when your lawyer or the state advises you, you see, but then here, I'm going to be taking like a liar to say, no, it didn't happen, because you can see where the state their case is not that strong. I mean, we have seen, I know a girl from my hometown who was raped. I'm not sure if she ever took that matter to police, because it's that thing, you know what, police are not going to do anything. They're not going to find this guy. This guy is going to walk. This guy is going to go to court. It's going to depress me. It's going to cause anxiety. It's going to do this and that and that. You find people withdraw because of those reasons.
Yes.
I'm not saying, no, it didn't happen. But because, you know, hey, it's going to take more on you. So I think we also need to relook at our judiciary system. Because I saw Umbalula saying that there was a conversation about this guy is not getting bail, those who are alleged to have raped. It's a good concept, but looking at what the NPA does, it's sad. So yeah, it's a sad story that needs to be thoroughly looked at. Rape is a serious offense, I believe. I know victims of rape. I know what it does to a person. And I mean, you wonder how a 7-year-old, when she goes and reads the newspaper after 20 years and she realizes, oh, actually, they were speaking about me. What will it do to her?
Yeah.
Okay.
But also, sorry, Gunnar, just to say, also in this matter of rape, because there was this other, is it an IO from Free State?
Yeah.
I would just have to applaud her on how she managed to get this guy who was actually targeting ladies who were addicted to drugs. So he would give them drugs and then later on take them to his house and then mix the dacha that they would smoke with some unknown pill. And then that's how he would rape them. But I like how the IO went an extra mile in looking for the victims.
Because,
like, she looked for the victims to an extent that she even went to scrape yards. The other one was now homeless. And she took her in and offered her a place to stay outside of that area and made sure that she goes through counseling before before being put on the stand. So that's how I would actually just say she did a good job, because most of the victims, they said, we are going to withdraw the case. But she persuaded them with, let's rehearse, and also go through counseling before. Because the lawyers were not lenient on them for the fact that they were dacha smokers, they were addicted. So her preparing them and ensuring that they are sober enough to tell and narrate what happened. And this guy was finally, given 5 life sentences since 2019, bearing in mind that he was also convicted of rape in 2006 and given parole in 2016. It's just messed up. And I would just say applause to her.
Unandi's bringing another element, you know. I wanted to discuss it, but then I know we don't have time. But guys, we need to give this a time. Nandi is speaking about these people who were on drugs and everything.
Yeah.
I mean, over the years, I know even in my home, it was practiced to say, you can't wear that, you'll be raped.
Yeah.
But then when a 7-year-old is raped, can we say it's because of how she dressed or because of what she did? She was on drugs. That's why she deserved it. You see, it shows you that people who rape are actually immoral. They are not human beings. They don't belong in our society. Because, I mean, a 7-year-old, Robo, Mwana. So it's that thing, reasoning. Because I've heard my grandmother shouting at my younger sister to say, you can't wear that, Robo. You can't do that. You can't walk like that. You can't, Robo. And it's sad because now, like, what are you supposed to do as a lady in South Africa so that you are not raped or you're not targeted, Robo? And also, shout out to the police officer who secured 5 life sentences. Maybe you can name her so that she gets celebrated.
Yeah, it's actually Sergeant Bessie Ntoba, from Free State.
Okay, so see, there are police who actually do their
job. Yeah,
there are. Okay, guys, so, like, obviously we'd want to discuss this as much, but we need to also... I mean, it is a news wrap-up. It's a weekly news wrap-up. Okay, so next on the list is 30% tariff. I think we've all been watching the news, and basically, Trade and Industry Minister Park Tao has taken a measured approach to the higher than anticipated tariffs imposed by the United States on the global trade partners, right? So I think it was on Wednesday when President Donald Trump announced high tariffs against at least 60 countries, South Africa in being included in one of those, and it was given a 30% tariff on all its exports. And this obviously caused a bit of a concern, but Wu Tao said, despite concerns about the potential negative impact on South Africa's economy, he said the importance is to continue the engagement with US and other trade partners to find a way forward. Let's take a listen to that, his response at the Gauteng Investment Conference in Melrose.
We are all trying to work out how the U.S. arrived at 60% discounted to 30% as the tariffs that we level and therefore the discount they are giving. In reality, our tariffs average on the basis of most favored nations tariffs an estimated 7.6%. And that's our calculation. Of course, we are speculating on Congress's calculating. This we assume could include in the trade balance, it could include other considerations. But at this point, we're going to need clarity from the U.S. as to how they arrived at the number.
So an economist I was speaking to, Frank Blackmore from KPMG, said the tariffs that are being imposed may basically produce job losses, but only in the long term, and we won't feel it right now. What do you guys think?
And do you see you laughing there? What's so funny?
Yes, we won't feel it right now. Everything in South Africa, we won't feel it right now. But in the long run. But honestly, Trump just wakes up every morning and
Just chooses violence.
Just South Africa. What did he say? There's a lot of things going on in that country.
Yes. Then he just signed the 60 law.
Yeah.
But then the way we are putting it out there, it's kind of misleading, because we are trying to say AfriForum is trying to say because of you, ANC, expropriation land, PEE, now we are facing tariffs. But when you look at it, there's the poor Lesotho.
What did they do?
It's not even about the expropriation bill, exactly. PEE, NHI.
Exactly.
But it's them taking decisions that will harm the USA in the long term. It's not going to be South Africa who's going to feel the
exactly.
heat. But it's also USA is going to feel the heat, because now you are pushing actually us to go to say, you know what?
We don't need you guys
anymore. Yeah, we don't need you anymore.
We don't need them. Because honestly, I was sorry, I meant to get you in the mouth. Because honestly, when I was speaking to Blackmore says, no, we actually don't even export a lot to the US. We only export 9% of our things to the US. So we still have like the 89% of other countries that we export to, and fun fact, majority of them being African countries. So just thought I could just tell you that.
So yeah, I was saying, we are getting to a point where we'll say, you know what, take your country, make it great again, and we'll make ours great again. I mean, if you look, we export a lot of raw materials.
Yes.
If we decide to say, you know what, let's have a gold burning machine, let's produce our own necklaces.
Yeah.
You know, we export motor plants.
Mm.
We can say, okay, let's do our own thing. Let's do our own BMW. And yeah, there's no need for moving it to America to have it done and bring it back here.
Yeah.
So he's pushing us to that point.
Point, yeah.
Yeah, we have friends with, we have good relationship with China, Russia.
I think he forgets that.
Yeah, so, I mean,
we honestly don't need them. But I get what you're saying, Herman, because the level is
more. He's messing things up, you know. I'm fine a bit doing. Homeboy. Homeboy is messing it up. Yeah, hey, that's for me.
It's so funny. Then, did you want to end?
No.
I'm just saying, it's pushing us. I like it at some point. I like it. I know it's sad because people will lose jobs and everything.
Yes.
But you know what? But every war has fatalities.
Wow. Okay. So while we're speaking on like wars, let's dive right in. So the DA. The DA intends to challenge the approval of the 2025 budget in court, claiming it was not adequately debated and lacks transparency, right? So DA leader John Steenhuisen announced that the party will file court papers in the Western Cape High Court to contest the budget's approval, right? This while Standing Committee of Public Accounts chairperson, as well as Rise Mzansi leader Songezo Zibi, contends that the focus on VAT is intended to distract citizens from the larger issue of funds being taken from them. Let's take a listen to that.
The amount of money that is in question here is 31.5 billion rand. 13 billion rand of that, 13.5 billion, is a 0.5% VAT increase, and 19 billion rand was going to be taken from the salaries of workers, of artisans, of policemen, of nurses, of doctors, teachers, and so on. Nobody cares about that for some reason, because the Democratic Alliance has framed the debate to only be about VAT, so they can negotiate other three political victories that they want. These two issues are now back on the table, because we must look at these numbers again and find ways over the next 30 days in which we can give that 19 billion rand back to working families who are struggling to afford to pay school fees and so on. And we can also do away with a 0.5% VAT increase. But I also want to say again, there is going to be no budget with easy options.
So basically, Songis is basically saying that we are all focused on that, instead of how much money is going to be extracted from the citizens in order to fund projects and to fund these things. And so he says that, in like the DA is making you guys focus so much on this one problem, but there's many other problems within the budget, and we need to focus on it entirely. What are your guys' thoughts?
For me, I won't speak about Songezi. I read the court documents that DA filed. So they are fighting Section 7, 4 of the VAT Act. They're saying the minister was not supposed to amend those things.
Yeah.
And they're also fighting how this thing was passed on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's basically their fight at the Western High Court, Western Cape High Court, which kind of makes sense. To say, you know what, we had a disagreement, but you went ahead and did this thing.
Yeah.
But also, I have to give it to ANC, eh? Because, I have to give it to ANC. If you listen to the leaked audio, yeah, Cyril Ramaphosa, he's literally saying, I'm going to put them at the corner and I'll make them dance. And now they are dancing in Vele because they are up and down. They don't want to leave the GNU because they have blue lights. But at the same time, they don't agree with whatever is happening in terms of budget. So I give it to the ANC because the budget was passed. Although it has terrifying effects on us because we now have to pay extra. Our salaries are going to be peanuts.
Yeah.
They're already peanuts.
Yeah.
So. It's quite interesting what is happening now with the whole debate thing, you know. I know the budget, the argument of the ANC is saying that, yeah, but then this VAT, we need it, we need to increase it. Obviously, everyone is focused on VAT. We are not looking at pay as you earn. You're not looking at other taxes. That, I guess that's what Songezi is saying.
Basically referring to
you. So yeah, it's sad because you get to realize this government actually keeps on biting us, eh?
They don't love us.
They really don't love us.
they keep on biting us, and we are always putting them on power. It's a sad story.
It is a sad story, but I think, you know what, I guess they're trying to find more money for us, but also chipping money away from us at the same time.
DA is using us. That's it. DA, I don't know, but
I'm quite interested what is happening with our GNU. So I'm quite interested on what's going to happen.
Let's jump right
into that, because
you know why I'm saying I'm interested in what's going to happen. You are saying this budget is poor. I'm not agreeing with this budget.
Yeah.
But you're actually a minister in that, government. Yes. So you are giving 10 million. 10 million that you say you don't want. So what's going to happen? Are you going to use it? Are you gonna
double standard.
So are you going to move away from... Because even yesterday, Stein Hessen was asked in parliament to say, hey, chief, you are outgoing. Can I even gate in saying Mabaha to the GA? So it's quite interesting to see if they're gonna say, you know what, we don't agree with this thing, and to show that we don't agree, we're not gonna just go to court. We actually gonna leave the GNU.
They should
leave. They're gonna say, you know what, we don't agree with you, but let's see what you can do.
I think it's going to be an interesting, what, next 4 years, 10 years? Oh, not 10 years, sorry, 2026, right, is the next part. So next 2 years of the GNU, it's still fresh, it's still starting. And it's like, I think what I find it interesting is that every time the DA wants to speak on government things, they always go, the DA does not agree on it. But it's a government aspect. We're now getting a bigger DA. No, you're not a political party.
No.
I think Gwaruba said it nicely herself. She says that I work for the government. Not for the party. This was after the whole head not showing up.
No, the Bella
Bill. But
remember, again, so I need to take this part. Remember. No! Remember, these people, we are going to 2026 local elections.
Mm.
So they are trying to prove to say, you know what, we are still the DA that is blue. We are not running wild with the ANC. And the ANC actually shows we are in charge, we are leading. So it's quite interesting because these people try to prove to their people to say, we're still a party that advocates for 1, 2, 3. And this one also wants to say, you know what, we are still in charge. We're still running the show. So yeah, it's quite interesting. And also it's quite interesting in terms of how will it play out next year in local elections.
Mm.
Will the ANC win because of NHI, because of BEE, because of Bella, land expropriation? Or will it lose because they decided to go with the DA into government? And it's actually fun because actually this AU Herman Mashaba actually said, I will never ever work with the DA, with the ANC.
But here we are, what is happening,
it's great. I don't want to belittle it, but it's quite interesting that someone can like make such huge statement and turn around. And without saying, hey guys, I'm sorry. I was so wrong.
But it is what it is, guys.
Yeah.
Moving on to more of the entertainment side, guys. So the veteran actor Nandini Nyembe has asked for public assistance to settle her medical bills due to financial hardships, right? She is wheelchair bound, right? And she shared her story that she spent over 88,000 on medical treatment for her son and is now seeking new acting opportunities to support herself, right? But obviously, despite her struggles, she emphasized that she has a desire to work and not to rely on handouts. Guys, I feel like this is a trend in the entertainment industry. It's not something new. We've seen it multiple times where people have come out, actors, musicians, have come out asking the public for support and any type of assistance. What are your guys' thoughts? I'm going to start with Nandi.
Okay, Gwena, but also with our celebrities and the entertainment industry. I don't know if, because last year I attended something around, I think it was in April, where this lady who was allegedly arrested for stealing a lipstick, Mawande from Generations. Mawande from Generations, yes. What's her name?
No, it's just use Mawande.
Nambita.
Everyone knows Mawande.
Yes. So she mentioned that the struggle that they are facing as I mean, actors and musicians, the fact that they don't have a union, like you mentioned, and they don't have that thing which after working this period, you'll get your UIF, you get what. It's just you work, you get paid, and that's it. But also, one thing that pisses me off is the fact that they know the industry that they are in. You don't save. You think you are on top of the world. You get the amount of money that you get. Yes, you pay your taxes. But at least, I think they also lack financial literacy as let's save money for future, for the future rather. Because it's always the case, she's sick, she does not, I mean, she can't pay for her medical records, or her house is burnt, she can't afford to buy another house. Or now the funeral, we have to donate to bury a certain musician or a certain actor. Where else had you been saving like normal people? Gwena, for sure, you and I and Hemen, we don't end like these actors a month, but we have a savings plan because we know we have rainy days. But Bona, they act as if...
No, I think I was having the conversation with Michelle Banda, guys, our recent enrolled colleague. And it was, we were having a conversation yesterday, especially after the whole discussion where we saw it also when we basically read the article that Masego wrote. And it was a matter of, she said that she had interviewed one of these artists and it was actually also talking about Aries and your Ricky Ricks and your AKs. And it was a matter of, these artists and these musicians, they have to keep up with the balance of fame and money at the same time. But you find that they would earn, she said that at some point she interviewed someone who earned at least 300,000 in 1 month, but has to now span it for over 6 months because the next job is probably in a 6 month time or the next year. But at the same time, they need to also keep up with that fame, that title of celebrity. So it's like they forget when they buy all these cars, these houses and thingies, that, oh, okay, I'm not going to have a job anytime soon. I'm not going to have a gig anytime soon. I need to save. But it's like the pressure of being a celebrity induces them to buy more. Herman, do you want to add 2 cents there?
So the points that I want to raise it, you have already raised it. I'm just going to summarize it. So with acting, they end through gigs, ne? And Umpa Pops actually made an example which shows you these people don't earn much. Because he said that you get a gig, they say 10,000. And then when you get there, it get taxed. It's running around 7,000. You have to pay your bargain. Those people who look for gigs for you.
Your agencies.
Your agencies. You pay them 2,000. You are now left with 5,000. That 5,000, you have to maybe transport to get to one point and eat. That means you have 5,000. 5,000, it's literally nothing if you have to spend it throughout the month. So it's sad that we think that, or we assume that they are earning a lot. They are not earning a lot. That thing, she gets 300,000, but you get to realize, maybe the next job, it's going to be two years after. You can say, but yeah, you got 3,000 2 years ago. What did you do? And also, it goes to back to fame, the wrong thing. I mean, the wrong thing with acting, it's two-sided. It's a government, also it's actors. Because once they have money, they want to flash it out. They want to show us, I have a recent car, I have a recent iPhone, I have a recent what. And then when you go to government does not have any, UIF. There's no, method to help them survive.
They can't even take loans from the banks because they don't have consistent
income. About the banks are like, they can't.
So yeah, it's sad in a way, and I watched the clips from Mam Nandi. It's a sad story. I mean, her first video was that, guys, I don't need any help. It's me updating you on my life that I'm sick and anything. But Minister reached out to Gaten McKenzie, and then there's videos whereby she's thinking, appreciating those who have helped, because she's saying that many people have came and said, you know what? We appreciate you.
Yeah.
But then, you ask yourself. I mean, this thing happened with Upre and the money thing. It happened with that guy, it happened with Umenzi before he died. He said it to say, you know what? Actually, as actors, we are struggling. So it's something that needs to be re-looked. I think people were crying. They're saying that guy from First State, Saudi Mtsweni. I think the guy had a solution at that time. But yeah, that's it for me.
But hey, guys, I think this one needs to. Gayton has to figure out something for this.
And the actress and the actors, all of them. Yeah. They should save, guys.
They must live like
they
us.
Should, yeah, save, they, yeah, like they must live like us. Guys. Now, you know, Guti, I need to.
You're gonna eat once a day.
How many times do you eat?
Once a day.
They should stop flashing cars and houses at us. Tina, we are so tired at some point.
Okay, but let's move it on, guys. So, obviously, another light note, and that just also highlights the whole, you know. No DNA, just RSA. We are back in it, guys. So Sundowns fan Siboniso Masango, heroically rescued a
Esperanzo
supporter who was hanging from a railing during a post-match clash at Loftus Stadium in Pretoria, right? And it's, guys, it just, my thing is also, I don't get fans who take it to a matter of aggression. What happened, Herman?
Football is personal. Football is personal. But I'm not saying I'm advocating for that. I don't want to focus on it. Mm. I want to share a spotlight on Siboniso. You know, the fact that when he went to the guy, there were Esperanza fans who were busy hitting bottles at him. So on Wednesday, I covered the story Siboniso Masango, who rescued Esperanza fan, this is what motivated him to do it.
So I grabbed him by the forearm, fixed his grip, and in doing this, he immediately thought I was there to essentially finish him off. So in his head, immediately as I grabbed his wrist, said to me, please, please, brother, don't do it. I have three children. That's what he said to me. He thought I was there to push him
finish him, yes.
And he said, please, please, brother, don't do it. I have three children. And then I showed him, no, don't worry. I won't let you go. I won't let you go.
Yes.
What goes to his mind? We can't let someone die over a football match. Even as I was running to the guy and I held the guy, the Esperance fans threw bottles at me. As I'm holding that guy, the Esperance fans threw bottles at me. No way. Not at a football match. You can't let anybody die over a football match.
So, the interview was cool because this guy details everything. Details how he went there and how he grabbed his arm and everything. But above that, he says, the reason I did it is because I couldn't watch a person die, no matter what T-shirt you're wearing. But I couldn't watch a person die in front of me and knowing that it's over football, you know. He's a cool guy. He's 28 years old. What he did, it's very, very emotional. Even if you realize the sounds that this guy, Esperanza fan, said. He was even crying after that to say, guy, you saved my life.
Yeah.
And what's actually kind of fun is that when Siboniso went to the guy, the guy said, please don't do it. Don't let me go because I have three kids.
Yeah.
So that is emotional. When you say to someone who's coming to rescue you, and now you're thinking, oh, he's going to come and attack you.
My thing is that it gets so tense and cold that you think the other person, just because they're wearing yellow, they're going to come and kill you.
But it's a culture of teams in North America. I mean, in South Africa, we have enemies when they are playing, but you cannot see that when
each other. It gets very violent.
In South Africa, we
are matured in that part.
We are enemies.
In that part.
We are enemies, but when Ubuntu strikes, we are Ubuntu.
I guess so. Yeah. Do you want to add it to since
No, it's...
Okay, guys, that's all for this week's News Wrap. Remember that you can find our latest podcast, review and subscribe for free on Oyono FM, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you choose to get your podcasts. You can also find us or follow us on all social media platforms at Sowetan Live. This is a Times Live production, and our producer is Demi Buzo. Don't forget, you can also have a listen to our other podcasts, Sunday Times Politics Weekly, Taking the Rams by the Horns, Business Day Spotlight, The Indigenous Corner with Gogo Zipo, and Deeply Rooted. Thank you for tuning in. Join us again next week for more updates on the biggest stories from me, Gwena, and my colleagues, Anandi and Herman. It's a wrap.
Ciao. Thank you. Thank you.